Afternoon, Alex. How are you?
Bit of cold, but can't complain.
Well, I'm back to my normal self, so happy days.
Exactly. Just by the way, thanks for talking to LSE Share Talk. The first thing I've got to say is congratulations. I had a CEO of a company saying you said 3.1 billion barrels is your estimate several months ago, and the report says 3.6 billion from 88E's internal report and 1.4 billion from the independent resources report. Would you like to clarify why the huge difference in these figures, or sorry, in their figures, and how you came up with your figure?
Well, practically speaking, 6 months ago and previous to that, I was able to look at what other drills had found. I did a lot of data interpretation of what is in the HRZ, and I was able to come up with the weights against the porosities and permeabilities based upon the core samples from the other drills.
Yeah.
So I was able to work out to obviously what is now looking like a high degree of certainty, sort of a very, very good ballpark average figure of what is out there. So obviously, if you take a core sample, subtract the dry weight from the wet weight, that leaves you with your total amount of oil. And obviously, I've put the figure out there quite a while back, 3.1 billion barrels. Lots of people said, how can you come up with that? Dave Wall, Paul Buzinski haven't been able to put a figure on it, but yet you are obviously saying that this is what we're looking at. That would put, oil in place of tremendous figures. So I was happy with my data, I was happy with my interpretation. I had it clarified by a local university lecturer who also bought in on the back of the information and data set that I was able to come up with. So first and foremost, I'm happy that they actually put their own figure on there of 3.6 billion barrels. So that sort of clarifies my knowledge and data sets. So, I mean, when you're talking about the massive expanse of acreage that they've got, to be that close based upon looking at other drills here, there, and everywhere around the North Slope area. And again, lots of the data, yes, it was based upon old data from the United States Geological Survey and Army drills, which were years ago, decades ago, but oil doesn't change that much. And I was happy to obviously put that figure out there. So nice to hear a CEO's been in touch with you and mention on that. The difference between obviously Dave Wall's figure that he's put out, which is again probably based from Paul Buzinski and the Independent Resources Report. The Independent Resources Report has to basically be very conservative on their figures. And again, they don't have the working knowledge, if you like, of people like Paul Buzinski. He's been sat there for 6 years. They haven't got the data set, the 2D data, or any interpretation of what is down there. They can only go based upon like the low figures of the drill reports. So on that basis, that explains the gulf between the two figures.
All right,
So,
yeah.
but the main thing to focus on for the future is we've got over a billion barrels worth of resource there. And obviously, 88 Energy are at a very, very sort of early stage in their development. So, looking forward to the future, it's a case of we've got billions of barrels there. We now just need to put effectively a price out of the ground figure on it. and see how well it flows. So based upon obviously their interpretation of the data already, it's going to flow like conventional. So the cost out of the ground is potentially going to be a lot cheaper than the price of oil is going to be when you look at sort of the near future, towards the end of the year, beginning of next year, when the second drill is going to be underway.
All right. I'm going to pick up on this one as well. I see lots of messages asking you why the date was in December for the report. And was it from the existing land or for all of the soon-to-be-purchased land? I don't understand that. Can you clarify that, please?
Yeah, and again, Dave Wall's put out a clarifying statement. I can imagine he was inundated with email messages and phone calls, etc. A lot of ambiguity on the independent resources report.
Yeah.
And basically, he said it's something to do with the accounting side of things, that the report date on it was December, but he has come back and clarified that it's a case of they've got all the data, they have based it upon the lab results, but again, for the humble PI, we're sort of, you know, I was inundated yesterday myself with too many messages. I wasn't able to reply to them all, which has never happened before, and it is a case of, you know, they put out that clarifying RNS overnight down in Australia, and it is over the full amount of acreage that they've based it on, and obviously the date wise they have obviously not just based it upon the drill as it was in December, they have based it upon the full sort of lab results. But on the back of that, I have emailed Dave Wall, and I have basically said, look, the independent resources report figure and your internal reporting figure, there is a massive gulf. The market doesn't know what to make of it. They don't know how to assign a value to it. We could do with basically what's called a competent person's report, a CPR.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
And again, I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's all right having an independent resources report out there, but if you look at the bigger picture and the wider world that is out there and everything that's sort of in place, if you like, what you've got to imagine is Dave Wall and Paul Wyszynski and potentially myself were the only sort of people that have been able to put a sort of decent figure out there, if you like. So the main thing to concentrate on, which I've obviously touched on before, is this is a totally different type of play to Eagle Ford, and there's nothing to compare what we've got against anything that's out there. So we could do with a full-on clarifying statement from Paul Wyszynski and, you know, just the whole team that's behind it. This is going to be a new find. This is going to be a new benchmark from, obviously, what to look at it from. I mean, everyone's concentrating on Eagle Ford and how we're going to be different to them. And obviously, figures in place now, even at the lower end on the independent resources report, it's better than Eagle Ford. It's going to be a lot cheaper to produce.
Okay, yeah, but the thing, it's like yesterday's RNS, they stated it's 20 times better permeability than pre-drill estimates. Are those figures known at all? Because I read yesterday's RNS and I was a bit confounded, to say the least.
Yeah, and again, this just sort of reiterates what I've just said there about getting a competent person's report out. If Paul Wyszynski can put pen to paper and say, this was my hopes and expectations pre-drill, this is where I've said it's going to be better than Eagleford, and then if he comes out and says, this is what it's come back at, and this is what I expect the future to be, just that clarifying statement with his name on it as a competent person's report, which he can do, he is fully qualified to do that.
Yeah.
if he puts that out onto the market, then the company will have a proper value associated with it. And again, if he can back it up with any detail on his analysis, then absolutely brilliant. I mean, the geology team that are working behind the scenes, I've worked with Paul Buzinski for a number of years. The test labs that they've utilised, etc., know to a high degree and a high certainty what is there, what is in place. So, you know, it's a case of I think he needs to put his name to some figures and say, this is what we've got, because that will obviously assign a better value with his knowledge and understanding backing that figure, as opposed to an independent resources report, which are just a group of people sat in a lab somewhere and an office space, and then they just say, right, we can only base it upon this figure. For instance, the independent resources report have said 40% of the HRZ is going to be attributed to being recoverable resources, whereas, and again, I put 70% in figures that I've posted out to people before I started doing blogs, and the companies came back exactly the same figure at 70%. So again, that just shows a sort of less than knowledgeable independent resources report.
I wonder what he's feeling like. I wonder what he's feeling like right now, that Paul Buzinski, because he must be watching, surely. And he's been, this has been his baby for over 6 years. I don't know. I'd love to know what he's thinking and feeling right now, to be honest. I would.
Yeah. I mean, I bet you he sat there, you know, they've done the drill. His concept's been totally and utterly proven. But at the same point in time, it must be frustrating for him to be sat there thinking, you know, if he's come up with that figure of 3.6 billion barrels,
it must
be frustrating for him to be sat there looking at a report that's come back at less than half of what he's estimated.
It's bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre. It is, honestly.
And that's why there's probably weakness in the market now, you know. And it's a case of where to go from here and what to do. And I think, you know, as I've said, I think the competent person's report would be the way for him to go with everything and, you know, get his thoughts, he's the main man here, he's the only person in the world that understands this play. He's been in the labs, he's been doing the tests, he's been doing the analysis. Paul, please, please, please put your name to something. Come out of the woodwork. Let the world know what you found.
It's, you know, the markets are ruthless, and if investors at the moment, they know what they've invested in, but the markets, they will drive it. If they want to grab shares, this is what they'll do. That's the name of the game. That's how it works.
Yep. And again, markets will come up, they'll go down. I've said to you before, reference sort of investors versus traders. You know, there was a report put out on last week by a company called Sencos. And they basically said that with the 2D imaging that they're shooting and other bits and bobs, there's going to be a hole in the budget. And again, Dave Hall has previously mentioned that there could potentially be a placing coming up at some point, dependent upon the joint venture deal. So I saw across a lot of the bulletin boards, and a lot of people came back to me and were questioning, you know, will this take place? And, you know, the true answer, and again, it's the same as everyone, we honestly don't know what's going to happen. But again, on the back of that, there's just a lot of misinformation being spread around the bulletin boards. People are saying that there's no money. There's people saying that the company's going to go under, and, you know.
Oh, my. Everybody's got their own agenda, Steve. You know this. This is how this game works. Everybody has their own agenda, and it'll never be. Can I just touch on that 2D thing you mentioned there? The night before last on your Twitter feed, you posted an amendment of a 2D area that ADAD Energy wished to shoot. Has the company released why they're doing this? You got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, again, I keep a very close eye on the permitting and bits and bobs along those lines on the Department of Gas sort of website, which is on the Alaskan website from their state. And practically speaking, the extra area that they're covering is sort of two areas where I previously said that there's potentially what's known as an updip trap, where there could be a conventional resource. So the area that they're shooting out to the east, I'll just give you a quick sort of overview. If you look south to north, you've got the Brookian mountain range towards the south, and then you've got Prudhoe Bay towards the north. Now, if you imagine a flat bit of surface, as a sheet of paper, for instance, if you lifted up a mountain range, i.e. lifted up the bit of paper, you would end up with a lot of waves, almost like a corrugated roof, sort of running east to west, but the waves are moving in a south to north motion.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a look at other drill areas like Norafed and Bushfed, they've basically got massive updip traps. Now, looking at the sort of geology of the land, I've spotted before, and again, I have put this out there, that there could potentially be a massive resource on our border with Great Bear and Otto to the north.
Okay.
And again, across to our sort of easterly direction from Icevine 1 area. And again, that's where they've sort of extended the 2D data set to cover.
Yeah.
So although the company hasn't sort of officially released a RNS to purely cover it, they have obviously released that they have already started the seismic shoot.
All right.
They were 15% done last week. And there was a YouTube video put out by Dave Wall who said yesterday that they've covered now 25%. So they are very much on the ball with that. If obviously they get the extension permits and they're going to shoot that extra area, it should still be done within the time frame because of the rate of shoot that they're doing at the moment. So timescales for the 2D, probably talking end of May for it all to be shot, and then potentially sort of September into August for the interpretation. Yeah. So, you know, basically ongoing, that's sort of rough timeframes for, you know, potential conventional resources to be known.
Just to the last one on there, ADAD, before we move on, if you don't mind. What's your thoughts with them going onwards? Where do you see this going short to mid long term? Obviously, I'm not saying what's the share price, but as a company and everything else, what do you think?
Yeah, again, the share price is going to do what it's going to do.
Exactly.
Based on market sentiment. There are obviously fundamentals that might need to be addressed. Obviously funding wise, we've got joint venture partner to come on board at some point in time. Discussions are obviously going to be ongoing based upon obviously now that they've got some facts and figures out there, and you know, just a rough timeline. Joint venture partner could come on board at any point in time. The company could obviously release their own sort of internal estimates and full results of the drill, i.e. we don't yet know the full sort of API of the fluid, so we don't know sort of what price can be attributed to the oil. The 2D data shoot will be obviously completed again around sort of end of May as a best guesstimate. And then obviously joint venture partner can come on board. They could obviously cover the cost of the land purchase as has been alluded by Dave Wall previously, there is a loan that they have taken out from the Bank of America.
Okay.
And this isn't to do with the drawdown facility. It is purely a loan to pay for the 2D. So again, it shows he's being prudent with the money. He's not obviously ascertained further dilution to the share price or the company. And again, he could obviously release facts and figures on that. But again, that could obviously be potentially covered by joint venture partners. If there are discussions ongoing, which he has obviously stated, that could obviously be why they've asked for an extension on the 2D seismic. For instance, the Independent Resources Report have come back and said 40% of the HRZ will be recoverable. They might want to obviously see that additional 2D seismic to clarify that situation. So a joint venture partner might want to come on board at this point in time before that obviously estimation might be revised. And, you know, there is a very strong possibility that that will be done, and or they can obviously put it in writing and say pre-land purchase, all the companies agreed to purchase the land. It's just the finer detail based upon the 2D afterwards for the sort of T's to be crossed and I's to be dotted. So again, it could be sort of a phased step into the joint venture partnership. The obviously ADATE as they're going along. So midterm, again, end of year, beginning of next year, there's going to be the Icewind 2 drill. That will basically prove up the fracking solution that the labs and Paul Brzezinski come up with. And that will be a multi-stage horizontal drill. And that basically means they're going to put a drill pipe in the ground, bend it 90 degrees into the shale, and they will then be able to work out what the drilling program will be going forwards. So as the drill pipe goes down, they'll shove it, say, 100 meters, frack, see what fluid comes out. Then they'll try a 200 meter stage, frack, see what fluid comes out. And they'll be able to work out what the best sort of distance for the pipeline to be driven and obviously the frack to be done. And that will basically do flow tests, amount recoverable. It will test the bottom and top seals in place, which again look solid as per previous comments by myself. And obviously long term, again, dependent upon the joint venture program, they might obviously just want to do a flow test and take 50-50 of whatever the resource is found upon the first drill. So average drill cost, say $30 million. If they come on board, we can use our 35% rebate in place. So again, no additional funding will be needed. And we, for instance, take 50% of the drill. And again, based upon my research, which obviously has now been sort of 90-95% vindicated by the amount of barrels in place, against obviously Paul Brzezinski or ATT's internal amount, I can see about 60 million barrels per drill site. So again, if you're saying 50% joint venture deal, then you're talking 30 million barrels resource per drill for a free carry, basically. So again, profitability, price of oil looks like it's going to go up by year end. Even if you assign a value of $10 per barrel, that's 300 million net to ATT on the one drill program. So yeah, again, that's sort of three times current market cap. And obviously at that point in time, as and when those figures come to market, it will then be a case of a major player might want to come on board if only a sort of mid-tier joint venture program has been done. It could potentially be a takeover deal in place, or it could be a massive drill program in place. Again, according to my figures, each well should be between 80 and 100 acres, which, when you compare to Eagle Ford at 40 acres per well, you're talking about a massive upscale in sort of distance between the wells, and that the cost of each well will obviously be slightly different to Eagle Ford, but the amount of wells needed will be half, if not sort of 60% cheaper than the equivalent sort of shale play elsewhere, just because of the massive permeability and the porosity in the rock. So development costs for joint venture partner will be a lot less overall than Eagle Ford for obviously a lot more resource in place. So
Sounds
hence my
exciting,
pre
Steve.
again hence obviously my previous estimates, 30-40% better than Eagle Ford overall. And obviously we're still at a very, very early stage with AAE,
Yeah,
but
true, yeah.
again, as I said earlier, the main thing to concentrate on is we've got over 1 billion barrels resource confirmed, and that's just massive news. So again, traders, plenty of spikes and troughs coming up. Long-term holders, again, absolutely brilliant. If the share price drops, it's an opportunity to top up in the long run. And obviously people like myself who are quite happy to sit there and wait for the true value to be reached in several years' time. It's just been an absolutely brilliant sort of first exploratory drill on the North Slope.
I love it. By the way, right, I've got to change the subject now. The last time on the podcast, you mentioned a few of the companies, the first being Ceres. Do you've got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, again, Ceres has carried on being sort of strong on the share price. They've obviously started doing the sort of blasting on the mine area. So we're expecting the first sort of gold to come out of the mine and be sold to market shortly. Keeping an eye on sort of Dave Reeves, who is the CEO there.
Yeah.
He is currently, obviously, as per my last podcast, I said about the manganese mine.
Yeah.
Dave Reeves is actually out in Togo at the minute, and we have been expecting their sort of mining license. So he could be potentially out there to pick up the mining license.
Okay.
And just to recap on that manganese mine, basically, very low capital expenditure to develop it. The mining resources are already out there. And, you know, I went away obviously after the last podcast. The manganese price rise throughout March has been sort of quite terrific. It's gone up to a new sort of high over the last sort of 6 months or so. And the sort of overall market future for manganese in the future, it looks for a sort of a rising sort of correction on the price. So again, if obviously you get the mining license out, it will be product to market, sold off for, you know, instant sort of cash in hand, and the commodity price looks like it's going to go up.
Definitely,
So
yeah. Looking excited. They're looking a very exciting company, actually. And like you said, the Australia play as well. He,
yeah, that's
yeah.
it. I mean, just look at the share price, it's gone up sort of fourfold from, I believe fourfold from when you first called it.
Yeah, spot three
And
seven. Yeah.
yeah, so again, a lot of people have already sort of sliced and they're happy now to be long-term holders to reap the benefit, obviously, of just instant cash to market, cash straight into the bank. And obviously, they're going to scale up the resources there. They've got several mines still to come online. Obviously, a lot better resources in place, i.e., more grams of gold per ton mined. So, again, the future there, it's only just the start for the company. they've got licenses in place for plenty of growth opportunity. So, and, you know, the more importantly, as I said on the last podcast, you have a look at the CEOs, they've all put the money where their mouths are.
Yeah, exactly.
They bought on the open market, not at a discount to market price. So, you know, everything there is looking absolutely rosy still. So, still opportunity to get on board at, you know, what I consider still to be a relatively sort of early stage of the company's development.
They're definitely still developing. And Dave Reeves, the last time I spoke to him, and obviously this is on the record, but he made the joke with me and he said, Alex, when I'm sat here with a bar of gold in my hands, I was just chuckling to myself. I got him on video. He actually said that. That's how confident he was with the Australian player. Can I just take it on to the second one you mentioned, Norricombe Gold, Steve? You got any thoughts on them?
Well, again, just to give everyone that's listening sort of like an overview of them, yeah. Basically they've got a 50-50 joint venture deal already sort of signed, sealed, delivered out in Georgia. They've got 30-year licenses in place, and the drilling area for the license is 400 square miles. Now, to put that into perspective, that's basically the same size as Dartmoor. So a massive, massive area, massive, massive resource in place as well. Basically, the Russians previously drilled some of the area. But what they did is, rather naively, and again without a lot of forethought, that you've basically gone in with their drilling rigs, they've not gone very deep, and they've gone in vertically.
Yeah.
So if you imagine, you could, you know, James looking for a person in an avalanche, if you walk two steps forward, put your stick in, pull it out the ground, you're not going to hit a person. You take another two steps, you can literally walk straight over the person, put the stick in the ground, and again, totally miss it. Now, what Norricombe have done, rather brilliantly in my opinion, they've gone along, they know that they've got the resources report in place, and they know obviously the grade of gold, etc. But what they've done is, they've gone along and they've put in almost a slant sort of rig. So they can go in at a slanted angle and cover a lot more of the ground per drill, then they move the drill bit along and do exactly the same. That almost draws up a 3D image over the areas that they're looking at. So they're due a upgrade in their JORC, which basically will show the amount of resources in place and what grades are going to be applicable there. So sort of the initial thoughts there are that they're going to be looking round about, just thinking the figures now, I believe it's 1 million tons of copper in place, 30 million ounces of gold in place, and 20 million ounces of silver in place. Now, looking at the mines, the area that Norricombe Gold have actually got is sat in the middle of their main areas, and their mining partners own mines sort of just on the outskirts of our acreage.
Exactly, yeah, true.
And basically, as and when they're going to start doing the blasting and getting the product to market, all of the infrastructure and all of the assaying and absolutely everything is within several miles of the area. So again, very low capital expenditure. They've got all the funding that they need. And the other thing I like about the management in place, they're going to basically scale up the work. So they're not going to go in there going all guns blazing for the sort of the massive resources that are 400 metres under the ground. They're going to go in there and they're going to scale the model up. So they're going to become cash rich very quickly. And then if there is any sort of further capital expenditure down the line, they will obviously use the cash in bank to deal with sort of anything that comes up. So, for instance, just the initial report that came out, they've gone down to 10 metres depth and they're finding 5 grams per tonne of gold. So, you know, there's no point going 400 metres underground to get 10 grams of gold out at this early stage, because that would obviously dilute the shareholders, because they will need a massive placing.
Yeah.
But as it is, they're going to go for the shallow gold. They've got several sort of drills that they've done. They've identified the resources that they're going to go after on these sort of smaller sort of initial digs. And again, it's just going to become a massive story overnight. And again, they're going to scale the business model up. Over time, you could be looking at a massive, massive resource. Their third mine that they're looking at bringing online is the copper mine. So again, by that point in time that this mine comes online, it's going to be cash generation straight into banks. No funding will be needed. And as I said, the copper there, they're looking at 1 million tons resource in place. So again, the price of copper is going up. The commodity is needed now in the world, so the commodity price looks like it's going to start going up over the next few years. And obviously, just the business model is absolutely brilliant. So, you know, long term, if you have a look at obviously what KRS has done, Keres, and have a look at what they've got here, they've got sort of a slightly higher grade of material. And again, capital expenditure is zero, so all fully funded and ready to go.
It's I spoke to Greg the last time I interviewed him, and he's very upbeat. And I think the next, even short term, like you say, the will cash generates, but I think over the next 24 months, I think Norikum Gold's going to be a really interesting story. I do, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you look at the business model, the way that the sort of managers of the company are conducting themselves, and just everything that's around them sort of infrastructure wise is absolutely massive. Yes, it's been sort of looked at and mined before, but again, just the resources in place as per the old sort of statements based on not a lot of data are just massive. And again, they've gone in there, they've proved up the data, and now they're adding to it. So the amount of resources that are there, just the interpretation and the way that they're going to be able to see, for instance, where the seams are, where the best resources are. And again, they're just going to get very, very fast sort of market data, and they're just going to absolutely blitz the world out there. So very exciting project, very exciting that the commodity prices are going to be rising, and, you know, ongoing, the company looks absolutely brilliant, very good grounding. And obviously with the infrastructure in place, local, they've got a good working knowledge with their joint venture partner on, you know, literally just the rock coming out of ground, how best to get the product out of the rock. So just very, very low overheads, very low sort of out of ground costs. So it's all good and ready to go. So literally just waiting for them to start doing what they're doing and await that first sort of RNS to say we're going for it.
It's you can tell, because when you interview these CEOs and you talk to them and then you look at the company and the background and everything, You can basically, you know, you can look and think, all right. That's why I've spoke about Keres in the past and all that, because of the, you know, the way they've took the shares on board and everything. But like I said, the Norikum thing with me as well, with Greg, I've spoken to him a few times now, and you look how quick they're going to cash generate. But also, you think the same as me, Steve. I'm thinking like 18, 24 months' time. where it is now at the moment, you know, so it's definitely interesting. Can I just get one plug in? Anybody who's listened to this today, funnily enough, well, it's not funnily enough, but we've got Keris Dave Reeves is flying into the UK on Saturday. And you've also got Greg from Norricum Gold. And they'll be at Junction 10 on the M6, and that's at the Village Hotel. And this is for private and retail investors, and everybody's welcome to come along. It'll be a really good night on Saturday night, this Saturday. That's my plug. You've gone quiet.
Yeah, that's your bit. Obviously, you're out there to get the information, data, and everything out to the public, and obviously that's your bit to do. And you know, it looks like a very good evening. Obviously, you've got two mining people there, so again, anyone that's interested in sort of minerals, etc., you know, two brilliant companies, obviously at the start of their production sort of cycle.
Exactly. Yeah. It's
very early days still for both of the companies, so it should be a very good evening to go along and see what's what with the world.
It's a new phenomenon as well, because what's happening now is you've got normal investors organising these evenings, and they're invited. And by the way, it's great when you think about it. It's Dave Reeves coming all the way from Australia for Keris, and you know, you'll have a broker company up there. So it'll be a really exciting evening. Steve, again, I've got to say, absolute respect. Thanks very much for talking to us today. Absolutely.
Not a problem, Alex.
Hopefully
Thank you
be...
for having me.
No, you're Hopefully you'll have a bit more cheerful the next time I talk to you.
I'm always cheerful.
All right. Cheers, man.
Thank you.